Good morning. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all to Baptist Christian Church this morning. If we turn our bulletins, we can go over this week's announcements. Directly after worship service this morning, we have Sunday school classes for all ages. We ask you all to attend. Wednesday night at 7 p.m. is Christmas Eve candlelight communion service. Thursday night is Merry Christmas. The whole day, I guess. Anyway. If you're on a committee that needs an increase or decrease in your annual budget, please see Dave Wireman as soon as possible. And out on the bulletin board, there's a sign-up sheet for the lock-in, teen lock-in, a list of food items and such. If you would look at that and see if there's anything that you'd be willing to help in. The annual business meeting will be after the fellowship dinner on the 11th of January. If you are responsible for a year-end report, please submit it to Linda before the 7th. Also, we're updating our phone directory. If your address or phone number has changed, or if your name is not on the current directory and you'd like to have that added, please give the information to Linda or send an email to the church. Also, on the back table, the offering envelopes are in, so if you would like one of those, I noticed that the package was brand new. This week's memory verse comes from Proverbs 17:9. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends.
Good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. You all look Christmassy. This is a good thing. Red and white. Different colors. We're glad you're here. If you happen to be visiting with us this morning, would you please take a visitor's card and fill it in so that we'll have a record of your visit. And then would just like to encourage you this coming Wednesday night to come and be a part of the Christmas Eve service. It's normally 45 minutes to an hour. We serve communion. Interesting, isn't it? You cannot celebrate the birth of the Savior without thinking about his death. He was the only human being ever born to die. And he died. We might have eternal life. And so if, you know what, if you're with family, whatever, just tell them, hey, look, if you want supper, we're going. And, you know, well, they'll probably come with you. And we'll have a good time together and spend a few moments in worship. So that'll be fun, and you come be a part of that. I really think that's all the announcements at this point. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow in the presence of the Almighty for the specific purpose of worship. We thank you for calling us here to this place at this time to be involved as a family together. Thank you for watching over us in these days, and thank you for all that you have done. Our Father, it is our privilege to offer to you this worship service, and we pray that you will guard our hearts and our minds, even to the motives and intents of our heart, that we might be focused on you, that we might be expecting to hear from you today, that we might be expecting to be drawn nearer to our God, deeper into your heart. We thank you for the privilege of sharing our tithes and offerings, and we ask you to receive them as they're given with cheerful hearts. Father, you've been so good to us, and we love you, and we lift our prayers to you in the eternal saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please stand for the reading of God's word. Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 2, 19 through 23. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child as his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Will you bow with me in prayer, please? Eternal God, our loving Heavenly Father, David says that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High is secure. And we thank you for all that you have done to make that truth reality. Thank you for being a God who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger. Thank you, Father, that you are a God who reached down from on high and took hold of us and lifted us into a spacious place. Thank you, Father, that you are a God who has promised that he whose mind is stayed upon you lives in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Our Father, this morning we come asking you to forgive us for our sins. Thank you that the eternal penalty has taken away, but Father, we have allowed ourselves to become dirty in this past week. And so as you told your disciples, we need to be washed. And we thank you that when we come to you and confess our sin, you are God who is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we pray in this hour that as we sit quietly before you in worship, you will work with us in such a way, minister to us, meet with us, Father, as you know how to do, so that our hearts and minds are receptive to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, for we need what you have for us today. And we pray that you will help us to understand deeper truth. We pray, our Father, that you will help us to understand how you are constantly at work in our lives, guiding our lives, that they might fulfill the purpose that you have for each of us. We lift up our brother Jack this morning. You know exactly what's going on. And all of this is in your perfect control. But we need to be comforted. We need our faith strengthened. We need for you to be God to us. And so we would just ask you to guide everyone safely to Indy. We pray for wisdom for the doctors and nurses. Ask you just to comfort Denny, Laura, and the family. And our Father, we pray that you will lay your healing hand on Jack and raise him. We pray that you'll continue to watch over Retha, continue to strengthen, bless, and encourage her daily. Thank you for what you have done. We pray that you will watch over all our loved ones who are being cared for this day. And our Father, there are those in our midst here who are walking through the valley, who are in the midst of the storm and even sinking in the waves. I pray that you would speak to them in such a way that they would know their God is near, that you would put the mighty hand of God under them and let them feel the strength of the everlasting arms. So God, minister to them and lead them. And we thank you for all that you are doing in our midst. Thank you for the progress that has been made on the building in these past days and for those that are working there. We thank you for the spirit of unity, the spirit of strength. We thank you for the attitude of love and concern and the desire in this church body to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We thank you, Father, for the great things that you do. We pray for our country this morning. As a culture and society, we have forgotten the meaning of Christmas. It's not too late, and so we pray that you'll give those of your people who still pray and seek your face to do that with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength in such a way that it would cause our country to return to you before it is too late and you must bring severe judgment to us, to remind us that it is because of you and you alone that we enjoy the blessings we do. So, Father, we pray that as your family, as your adopted children, the true meaning of the season, the birth of the Savior, his life and the redemption that he brings to us will be a message that we share with our family and our friends loud and clear. We pray that you'll give us both opportunity and then courage and wisdom to do so at every chance. As we look now at the reading and the study of God's word, we pray that you will open our hearts and minds. We would ask that you would put a hedge of protection around us, that we might allow you to speak to us as God. And so, Father, we just simply ask you to come and meet with us. And we ask it in the eternal, saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake, amen. Amen. In these past few weeks, we've been talking about Christmas dreams, or the dreams that came to Joseph and those around him and are recorded in Matthew's chapter 1 and 2. We've seen God move in Joseph's life to reassure him that his marriage to young Mary was the right thing and was God's will for him at the time. We've seen God deliver him in a time of danger. We've seen him guide him, and now we're going to watch God direct him to the place that he will call home. One of the things that you are to remember through this is that God is a sovereign God who directs the affairs of all creation exactly as he wants. And at the time, he also directs every detail of every human life in exactly the manner that he has designed, so that your life will ultimately fulfill the purpose God planned for you in eternity past. These are the last two dreams that we see here recorded in Matthew chapters 1 and 2. And as everything that comes to us from God, everything that comes to us from God and touches our life does so with purpose and direction. And if we remember that, then nothing seems strange to us. We may not know all the answers, but it'll make sense. Let's start and look first. The first dream, or the first part of it, was a dream of fulfillment. In chapter 2 and verse 20, in 19, it says, "After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, 'Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead.'" Now, when God first told Joseph to go to Egypt, he told Joseph, "Remain there until I tell you." Important. One of the most comforting truths about God is that he never leaves us stranded in the wilderness. He always leads us home. He always leads us where he wants us to be. And ultimately, he will lead us home. To be with him forever in his new heaven and on his new earth. God has always desired that, as John writes in the book of the Revelation, God's dwelling place is with man, and that he dwell with them and he be their God and they will be his people. And he himself will be with them as their God. Now, God knew everything that was going to happen. He knew we would be separated from him by sin. But that was not God's choice. God wanted us to spend our entire life in fellowship and harmony with Him in Eden. Just a reminder that this is a historical truth that is recorded in Matthew, and Matthew is authoritative because Matthew was an eyewitness to the entire ministry of Christ. He was an eyewitness to His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And being a witness to those things makes him an apostle. It qualifies him to be an apostle. It's also divine truth that's written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, somebody said, okay, so fine. So what makes that so important? Because when we read this as the Word of God, what we're watching in the account of Matthew is the providence or sovereignty of God as it plays out in Joseph's life from day to day, week to week, month to month. And that's important to you and I because even though our lives are not part of Scripture, even though somebody's not writing it down to record it later, the sovereignty of God is still working in all of our lives just like it was in Joseph's. And if you understand that, and that's okay with you, life's just more fun. Life is just better, even in the adversity. Today, the names and characters are different, but it's still the same God working His perfect will through us. There are a couple of truths here that we need to see in this dream of fulfillment. And the first one is, Joseph had to obey God's instruction to stay in Egypt how long? Until God told him to do something else. God just said to Joseph, get out of here. Get down to Egypt. He didn't tell him how long he was going to be there. And by the way, listen, it wasn't a vacation. He moved him down there. And Joseph had no idea how long he was going to be in Egypt, other than what God told him, until those who are wanting to kill the child are themselves no longer a threat. Beloved, listen. There's nowhere in Scripture that I know of you and I are ever given the opportunity to tell God how to run our life. It's not the most pleasant thing to hear, but it's fact. True men and women of God understand that God is the only one. He is the true and living one who is in charge of their entire life. He's the only one who knows how it's supposed to come out. And He knows how it's supposed to come out for us to receive the greatest benefit from it. You and I have a tendency to miss so much of what God has for us because we're in a society trained to expect instant results. We're no longer patient by nature. We're even accustomed to telling God, now God, I need to know this by... Or we say to God, now, if you don't stop me from doing this, bye. I'm going to take that as approval from you that I'm on the right track and I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'll quote a famous question here for those of you that work like that. How's that working out for you? God tells us two requirements that we have to meet to get what we want. If somebody asks you the question, can I have what I want in my life? How would you answer that? Well, from a godly perspective, you can say, yes. Does God want me to have the desires of my heart? Yes, He does. But there are some conditions. There are some situations. God says this. To us who are Christians, beloved, to God's adopted children, He says this. My grace is sufficient for you. If we have nothing else in this life but the grace of God, understand that's all we need. And He makes it very simple. He says, with food and clothing, be content. God does not intend for us to be burdened by the cares of the world. And so I'm just going to show you a couple of verses. I'm going to show you one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. Now listen, if you care to, you can take these two verses and begin a study, and it will lead you from, as one little boy said, from generations to regulations about how God guides us and helps us see how to get what we desire. Would you go with me to Psalm 37, please? Psalm 37. Psalm 37, look at verse 1. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die. If the grass looks greener on the other side, don't worry about it. It'll turn brown pretty quick. And then look in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Now watch, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So the conditions under which we can have what we want begin with delighting ourselves in the Lord. And delight means that. It means to take one's pleasure in. Can I ask you something? Do you find your greatest pleasure in God? Now be careful how you answer that. Your greatest pleasure in God, or is there something else that gives you more pleasure than God gives you? To enjoy or be fond, to take pleasure and enjoyment in an object. Who is the object of your affection? Implying the desirability of the object. Beloved, let me ask you a question. Is this how you feel in your heart of hearts toward God? Now, I know what the Sunday school answer is. You know what the real answer is. Do you delight yourself in the Lord? Does He fill you? If you woke up tomorrow and all you had was your breath and your Savior, would that be enough? That's the point. You see, when you think about all things God, when you think about reading, when you think about prayer, when you think about study, when you think about being with other believers in worship, how do those things stack up or fall in line? I know you folks are slammed. Every second of your life has a demand on it of some kind. And those moments when somebody slipped up somewhere and you maybe have a free moment with nothing to do and you can sit down and rest. What do you think about? Do you ever just leave the TV off at night? How would we live? Or better yet, what would we talk about? You leave the TV off and you're at home and you and your wife are there and you just... What do I talk about? May I suggest to you that people who are divorced after having been married 20, 25, 30, 35 years get divorced and you know what they often say? We didn't know each other. Why? Because they spent too much time involved in other things, not getting to know one another. So let me ask you something. If you turn off the TV, if you set time aside where you say, this time belongs to God, I'm going to meet with God here, would your first question be, what would I talk about? I know God's super nice. Thank you for the nice day, Lord. Thank you for being good to us today. You see, my beloved, when David says to lose yourself in the Lord, that's what he means. I will suggest this to you. I'll offer this to you. Probably most of you have some kind of device where you can download something. Download a version of the Bible, ESV. And there is a version, almost all of them, there is a feature where it will read to you. You can choose a chapter and it will read to you. I would invite you sometime this week to take your device and download that app. And then I invite you to sit down someplace quiet and in your recliner or however you like to relax and turn that on just loud enough to hear. And close your eyes and let the Word of God enter. If you would do that, 5 minutes or whatever you wanted to each day through the end of January, in February you would find yourself needing to do that. Delight yourself in the Lord. And that second sentence opens up your whole life. Do you see? If you find your delight in the Lord, he says, I will give to you the desire of your heart. Wow. So just take the next 6 weeks. Don't ask. Just say, teach me to delight myself in you. And see what happens. Would you go with me, please, to John chapter 15? John chapter 15. I'll show you the other key, if you will. Are you in John 15? Look at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Pay attention. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Now, if you were paying attention in verse 1, he says that he's the vine, and then he tells us we are the branches and we can't do anything ourselves. It must remain in the vine. neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Notice, apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Did you see verse 7? If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, Jesus says to you what God told David in Psalm 37. Delight yourself in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus says, if you remain in me, and I remain in you, you can ask whatever you will, and it will be done. Here's an interesting thing. When we abide in him, that's salvation. You see, God is not telling the world willy-nilly, hey, if anybody wants anything, you come to me and I'm the general store, I'll just hand it to you. God says, if you want what I have for you, you come to the cross. That's the starting point. You come to the cross and admit you need a Savior. And you accept my Son. And then we'll start together. And his word abides in us. You cannot come to Christ and say, I accept Christ as my Redeemer. I confess him as my Savior. Now, I've done that. I believe it. It's true. I'm going to go over here and sit down and do what I want. And when it's time, I get to go to heaven. Beloved, it doesn't work that way. Jesus says, you abide in, you live in me. Now that's a theological truth that when we're saved, we're put in Christ. We'll talk about that another time. But I want you to understand this. Jesus is saying to us in this age of grace, if you want what God has for you, you start with salvation. And if you want the blessings that come with the salvation, you live as I direct your life. Remember, we're talking about a dream of direction. God says, I am going to fulfill your life, but you do it my way because I'm the sovereign one, the holy one. I know the plans I have. My plans are perfect. Your plans are flawed. You come to me. You remain in me. You continue. You continue in me. Joseph did that. Joseph went where God told him, and he stayed there as long as God told him to. And in doing that, God took care of Joseph. Now, listen, listen. I want you to understand something, because you'll hear this kind of garbage preached. As a Christian, you do not have carte blanche with God. You cannot do whatever you want to do, the way you want to do it, and expect God to honor this. You'll notice what I've showed you from both Old and New Testaments is you come to God and you give God sovereign leadership in your life, and then God will fill your life. See, when we live outside of the will of God, we're living on our own, basically. Let me share this with you. God knew what he was doing when he put these two things in writing. And this is a principle that follows through Scripture. Do you know why? When we come to Christ for salvation, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that we are recreated in Christ. He says, old things pass away, all things become new, right? You're familiar with that, right? 5:17? Okay? In Romans 12, 2, he tells us that we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. How does that happen? By the renewing of your mind. That's why Paul tells us in Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Isaiah says in chapter 26 and verse 2, God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon, dwells in, abides in, lives in you, God. Why? Because he trusts in God. God has a desire to fulfill our dreams, to fulfill our desires and our wants. But he can only do that when we follow him. Now let me ask you a question. Right here, right now, as a born-again Christian, as somebody who claims to be a child of God, okay? Is your life fulfilled in him? Are you absolutely, totally, completely satisfied? Now, you know the answer, and God knows the answer. And I promise you that whatever you're holding on to back here saying, I'm satisfied, but there's this one thing. Beloved, listen to me. Listen very carefully. That one thing, that but, will lead you to destruction if you let it. I don't care how godly you may think it is. It doesn't make any difference. God fulfills only when we delight ourselves in him and fill our life with him. So is this a season of fulfillment? Or are you longing for something that God hasn't given you? If you are, let it go. Don't worry about it. There's a reason. Joseph's dream was a dream of faith. In verse 21, God says this, we read, so Joseph got up and took his child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. Now, here's the difference. Listen, I'm struggling here. I'm probably going to talk with you about this and save the rest because I know you're already thinking about lunch. Come on, I can see it on your faces. Okay? I had to share that with you. You see, beloved, too many times we as Christians fake our satisfaction and our happiness in God. And God is a God of completeness, a God of fullness, and God does not want his children to live a settled-for life. But the hardest thing for us to do is to give up, are you ready? Is to give up me, my, I want this. I have to have this to be happy. Beloved, let me tell you something. If you haven't got it, God knows you don't have to have it to be happy. I don't care what it is. And all the longing in the world isn't going to bring it to you God's way. His was a dream of faith. Now, listen, to some degree, God is telling Joseph what he told Abraham, except the difference is God told Joseph, go to Egypt. He didn't tell Abraham where he was going. Now, go back up to verse 13, please. I want to show you something neat here. In verse 13, when they had gone, the wise men, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream saying, get up. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there till I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and to kill him. Now, look at verse 20. The Lord said, get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. Do you know what the difference in those two verses is? In verse 13, God says, Joseph, there's danger. Get out now. Go. Flee. But when God came to get him in Egypt, he said, Joseph, go now back to Israel. God will often tell us to flee when we're in danger. But he always tells us to come or go when he's leading us to his chosen place for us. Have you ever noticed that when you're reading scripture? When God sees us in imminent danger, he says, flee, run for your life, get out of here. And when he's leading us to where he wants us, he says, go, or come follow me. And I have to ask you this morning, is God telling you in some way or another, get out of here. Get out of here. And I'm telling you, if you can read, you're smart enough to know the answer to the question. Is there something in your life where you're saying, I want that, and I'm trying to manipulate that, and I'm trying to work. I'm holding on to that. And God is saying, run from that. Beloved, let me tell you something. God sees the danger you don't. God knows where whatever it is you're holding on to, whatever it is you're dragging with you, hoping that God will fulfill it, is leading you to destruction. God knows that. And he's trying to say, will you let go of that? Get out of here. I'm trying to save your life. Interesting how we bargain with him, isn't it? It's okay, God. I got this one. I can handle this. I can handle this. Oh, I sure wish I'd listened to God. And yet, God came. And he said, it's okay for you to go back now. Now see, if you're not walking with the Lord today, and listen, let me tell you something. You can be doing 99 things right, and some of you will get this, dragging Harry, and be out of the will of God right there. And it's that one area that will infect your whole life. God is calling you to a place of security. Go. Go. And if you are walking with the Lord this morning, you understand and you get it, don't you? God is trying to call us out of the arms of destruction into the safety and security of the deliverer. And Joseph's faith caused him to immediately leave Egypt and follow God's leading back to familiar territory. And if God is calling you this morning, you need to follow him back. And it might be that God is trying to tell you to flee. And if that's the case, whatever it is, I don't care, whatever it is, you drop it like a hot potato and run for your life. Because I promise you, if you don't, Satan will lure you to destruction. And when God comes to get you, it will not be pleasant. So God is speaking, and you know it, don't you? And you know how God is speaking. And you have times in your past when you have seen God work, and you have seen God deliver you, haven't you? Well, this time is no different. You follow him. And if he's leading you back, you'll come. Amen. Amen. Father, we do ask your blessings and guidance, and we pray that you'll minister to us. God, apply the truth of your word to our hearts. In our own lives, when we go where only you and us dwell, we know where you're trying to fulfill our desires. And we also know where we're refusing to let you. And you know the reason, the fear. You know the uncertainty. You know the pride. You know the unwillingness to let go of self. And so, Father, in the quietness of this moment, as a family gathered in worship before you, speak to our hearts. Help us to understand. And help us to know. Oh, God, help us to know with absolute certainty and hear you say in a clear voice, run for your life. And help us to know that you will lead us out of danger into safety. And if you're calling us back, then give us all the energy, all the courage, all the perseverance, everything we need to pack up immediately and follow you to where it is you're leading us. Because we know that every word of God is flawless. And you cannot be mistaken. Oh God, give us the courage to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now you save your outlines because next week I'll give you a sermon and a half. No, I won't. But we will finish this next week. Let's bow in prayer now. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you that you are such an amazing God, a God who is a God of fulfillment, a God who is a God of faith, a God who has a desire to give us the desires of our heart, who has a desire to protect us, who has determined to change us, conform us into the image of Christ. You have blessed us by making us heirs and co-heirs of Christ. You have promised us eternal life in a heaven and on an earth that we cannot begin to imagine. And because of your grace and your mercy, you have called us out of darkness into light to be your adopted children. We are of all people most blessed. So continue to speak to our hearts and minister to us, and we'll give you and you alone the praise, the honor, and the glory that is yours, and we'll do it in the eternal saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.